enough of you, baby.
Can't get enough of you, baby. Smash Mouth, we can't hardly wait. This is Sunday Roasted with Terry, Tim, and Keenan over there.
Wee.
Keenan's a bit upset. He's missing another Newcastle game, aren't you, today? Newcastle-Chelsea.
As far as I know, it's still 1-1.
Yeah, it'll be all right, mate. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it. It's only
Premier League.
It's only Premier League. So we're going to make a phone call, aren't we?
Yeah.
Who are we going to call?
We're going to call Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
No, let's call Joel. Let's make this a full-on, what do you call it? A full-on spin-off crossover spectacular.
Yeah, let's do it then. So Joel is Mr. Forgotten Flicks.
Yeah, he runs the Forgotten Flicks website and Twitter.
There we go, it's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, Joel. My name's Terry.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Hey,
okay?
Terry. Good,
yeah.
How are you doing?
Really, really good, mate. You probably couldn't hear us before. When we were on, basically, when we do a pre-call, it's through a condenser mic, and it's not very clear, to be honest, but you can hear us loud and proud now, can't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Loud and proud, absolutely. That does sound a little bit, you know, don't use that phrase again.
What, loud and proud?
Yeah. Don't use that phrase.
just keep an open mind, brother.
So, yeah, we've been discussing in the last hour our favourite Forgotten Flicks.
Uh-huh.
I've gone with Mo Money.
Damon Wayans.
Yeah, Damon Wayans film. And the other one I went for was Breakdance the Movie. They were the first two I've done. I've got three more to do. I'm going to do a film called Restless Natives, which was a Scottish film from the mid-80s. It had cameos in from Ned Beatty, Robert Urquhart, amongst others. A film called The All-Nighter, which I don't know if it's called The All-Nighter in the UK and the US, but it was Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles was in it.
Yes, okay, I vaguely remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a coming-of-age film for me as well, watching that film.
Uh-huh.
And the last one I've chosen was CB4. There's a bit of Tim said there's a bit of a gangster element in my films.
Yeah. that's Chris Rock, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
And Tim, what have you gone for?
I've picked Josie and the Pussycats. In fact, mm-hmm. I've pretty much picked everything that Deborah Kaplan and Harry Alfont made for the first, 10 years of their career. Bachelor Party.
Cool.
What else have I gone with, Terry?
Can't hardly wait. I heard that at the end.
Can't hardly wait. Yeah. Well, that's one of theirs. I'm sure I mentioned something else, but no, it mustn't be it. I think we just did a Wang Chung update and that was it then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've mostly been stuck around Deborah Kaplan and Harry Alfont. So you're Josie and your Pussycats. You Can't Hardly Wait. You're a very bready sequel, which almost got banned in this country.
Why did it almost get banned?
Incest, nunchucks, and drugs.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, the BBFC in this country have got a major thing against nunchucks. So every episode of Thundercats was edited when I was young. Panthro never did anything.
Thing is, have you ever picked up a pair of nunchucks? And the most harm you're gonna do is to yourself, I think. Crazy things.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I don't know if you guys ever saw a show over there called The State. It was on MTV in the United States back in the maybe mid-90s, and it was a sort of a sketch comedy show, and there was a bit in there. I don't think the guy used nunchucks. I think it was actually those little, I can't remember what they're called. They're like the little wooden, you know, balls that are supposed to relieve tension that you have, like a little string that hangs from them, and you knock them back and forth. And the premise of the sketch was he breaks into this house, and he starts knocking them back and forth. He starts getting so entranced by them, but he keeps doing it so much that he starts to basically pound his knuckles bloody. And throughout the episode, they kind of keep coming back and forth to him, you know, just going back and forth with these things. And I think he ends up picking up a pair of nunchucks, and it just keeps escalating from there. He knocks his teeth out, and, you know, it was pretty stupid, but it was funny. So.
I think the word you're looking for is Newton's Cradle. Is that what they're called?
Well, that's what I thought he was on about, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah. You might be right. I honestly don't remember. I just remember laughing.
So we want to discuss some of your favourite Forgotten Flicks. I know you've got a lot, but...
Uh-huh.
Lot? He's got a whole website of them?
Well, this is it. I would just like to maybe just pick a couple.
Okay, well, off the top of my head, for some reason, the one that I guess the way I define a forgotten flick might be different than some other people, because I sort of put this out there early on when I first started the website that, you know, forgotten flicks does not necessarily have to be a movie that, you know, no one has heard of or is super obscure. I used to be a middle school at one point about, you know, spread out through about 7 different class periods, I had 160, which I don't know how, I know the way you guys describe your schooling systems, you know, a little different over there, but it's sort of kids, you know, between the ages of like 12 and 14. And, you know, we had about 160 students, you know, throughout the day. Out of that 160, I had maybe 2 that had ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ooh.
So, yeah, exactly. So I remember that sort of maybe where the spark kind of hit me that, wait a minute, how could only 2 of you that are, you know, preteens and teenagers have only ever, you know, never even seen, you know, only 2 of you have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that got me thinking that movies that we sort of take for granted having grown up with them, you know, that they are just universal, they're eternal, they'll always be around, they'll always be remembered, and yes, they'll always be around, but I feel like, you know, we as movie fans have to kind of preserve their memory. We have to talk about them. We have to keep promoting them. And it doesn't apply just to old movies. It also applies to newer ones. The one that just comes off the top of my head is the movie Moon that just came out.
That's
with
a great
Dan
film.
It's fantastic, and it pretty much did nothing. Like, and I realize a lot of times that's just because, you know, the distributor doesn't give it the proper attention it needs or what have you, but I really feel like even with newer films, there's plenty of newer films that just completely fall off the pop culture radar or are never on it to begin with, and they deserve some kind of recognition.
Yeah.
So I came up with Forgotten Flicks as a name because, A, I do like alliteration, and B, I found that things like, you know, not to be Forgotten Flicks or Forgotten or FlicksYouShouldn'tForget.com just didn't sound good. So, I went with that. From my own personal choices, I tend to be, you know, more genre guy, specifically horror and sci-fi. That's where, when I was a teenager, I had an entire wall of my room that was just covered in, you know, clippings from Fangoria magazine and Starlog and all these other things. And my grandmother was pretty much convinced I was going to grow up to be a serial killer. And, you know, it was, so that was where my focal point was. So, but I would say Army of Darkness just off the top of my head. And I know that's a movie that a lot of, you know, film geeks know and love, and everybody loves Bruce Campbell. But again, it's one of those that when I'm just talking to quote unquote regular people, that they look at me like they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to, you know, Timothy a couple days ago, and we discussed the fact that, you know, sometimes when I'm at work and I'll start talking about something, bring up a subject, and I'll say, oh yeah, it's like, you know, Kim Thomerson in Trancers. And again, I get the look like, you know, yeah, they have no idea who I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. So, and there's another one, Trancers, from 1985, from Charles Band, and it's kind of a fun little sci-fi actioner, and you know, I mean, gosh, there's so many.
That's got some early Helen Hunt in it, isn't it, that one?
Yes, actually, yeah, Helen Hunt, and I think she was actually like in the first 2 or 3 of them.
She's in the second one. I think she's in the third one only a little bit because she was like quite popular with Mad About You by that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. By that point, she had become a real, you know,
actress,
star, and celebrity. So she was, you know, yeah. I guess above the Charles Band stable there. But yeah, it's a great film. Like I said, Army of Darkness. I mean, that I pretty much love anything that Sam Raimi puts out. Minus For Love of the Game, which we won't even go there. I don't know if you guys ever saw that one with Kevin Costner, the baseball picture, but it was awful. Just a personal thing, but it was awful. Can't Hardly Wait, actually, when I was listening there at the end to you guys talk about it, that's another great one. I've seen that multiple times, mm-hmm. and with Seth Green and Special K, and it's great. It's got a great cast, too, because I think I heard you say the thing about Charlie Korsmo, the kid who was in Hook as well, and he was also in What About Bob? He was the death-obsessed son of Richard Dreyfuss.
I didn't realize that.
He was the kid's always wearing black, and, you know, he's just obsessed with dying. And it's funny because when you guys mentioned that you didn't think he'd been in anything since, you know, like between Hook and Can't Hardly Wait, I just real quick looked him up on IMDb, and I don't, according to that, he hasn't been in anything really since Hook. I mean, I'm sorry, not Hook, Can't Hardly Wait. So, I was rather surprised because I thought he was fantastic in that. But just off the top of my head, recently somebody was talking about The Wraith, which with Charlie Sheen and Sherilyn Fenn, that's another great one from 1986, about a supernatural vengeance race car guy that takes out a gang that, you know, was responsible for the death of a kid in this small town. Another one that is just a personal preference, and I know a lot of people remember it, but since they're remaking it, I always loved Red Dawn. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, I know Red Dawn. Yeah, Red Dawn. That's all finished now, isn't it? That remake. It's just because of MGM. It's taking ages to come out because they're.
Yeah.
I think they've sold it to Sony now.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know when the what the new release date is for it. I know because of MGM's problems. I was just reading something today about Joss Whedon's new one, The Cabin in the Woods. It's his new horror film that he wrote. Is again gotten delayed. I guess it was originally supposed to come out earlier this year, and then they talked about retrofitting it for 3D because we know how well that worked out, Clash of the Titans. And so now they keep delaying it, so which stinks because pretty much again, Joss Whedon's one of those guys that I'm a total fanboy for. So and I know they're and yeah, speaking of another remake, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they're doing that without him, so and without Sarah Michelle Gellar. So, but yeah, Red Dawn.
Like the original film.
What's that?
Like the original film without Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with Kristy Swanson. And who I had a thing for back in the day, back when you know she was doing Deadly Friend and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah. And
Deadly Friend, is that the one where she dies and then her next door neighbor puts computer chips in her?
Yep.
Yeah, that's mental. Yeah, that film. Best death by basketball.
Yeah. Yes. With what's her name? The lady from Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna drive me nuts. I'm gonna have to look that up. Yeah. Throw Mama from the Train and Goonies, and her name is on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember it.
Basically, for anybody who's listening, in that once he's reanimated his crush from next door with pieces of his robot, she goes mental and kills an old lady with a basketball by just hoofing it right in her face, which is absolutely ridiculous but brilliant. It's brilliant and it's an absurdity.
It has a Scanners moment where it just everywhere. And I guess I actually read something not that long ago about that scene that they shot that after the film was over because originally I think she just tosses the old lady through a door and that's what takes her out. It's in the trailer. If you go watch the trailer on YouTube, you see that scene where I'll just call her the mama from the train goes through the door and you see her, kind of hanging there. Well, that was the original death scene. Well, I guess they felt that wasn't sensational enough, so they decided to shoot the basketball, death by basketball, after the fact. So, there's another classic forgotten flick. It's not one of Wes Craven's strongest films, Deadly Friend, but I've always been a big Wes Craven fan.
Yeah. I think when we were choosing them for this show today, our forgotten flicks, I think I've sort of gone with milestones from when I was a kid. Not necessarily, like you said, not films that have been forgotten. We've done this show a couple of times before, me and Tim, before we were doing it on a Sunday, where we just picked, we collated a few films from that we both like, and basically just told people to go and watch them, or can you remember such a film? That's how we got talking about it.
Yeah.
It's happens when we take over the world. We're going to sit people down and force people to watch these films.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty much where, we're good. That's sort of the hidden agenda of my website. So, is to convince people why they need to look up these films. Anne Ramsey. Is that her name? Sorry. ADD moment, kids. I think her name is Anne Ramsey, the actress. But
it does sound familiar.
Okay, another movie. We're going to go straight, just personal, sentimental favorites. The Monster Squad.
Oh, brilliant.
From 1987, I'm going to say something that I realized for anyone that grew up in the 80s, that is total heresy. But because the Monster Squad is the Goonies with the Universal Monsters in it, and I prefer it to the Goonies. I actually watched the Goonies maybe about a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago, and for me personally, I enjoyed it, but it didn't hold up for me the way I think some people. Are just, it's one of their favorite childhood films, and I totally get it. I totally respect that. But for me personally, I get that way about The Monster Squad. Mm-hmm. So, and if we're going to go straight up horror, probably, and I guess some people would argue it's borderline comedy, but would be Evil Dead 2. That was one where that was my first introduction to all things Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell when I was about 13 years old, and it was Halloween night, and HBO was doing this triple feature, and I'd come home. It was pretty much the last time I ever went trick-or-treating, and I came home and sat down. I watched, it was a triple feature of that, Pumpkinhead, and I never can remember what the third film was, but after that point, I probably watched Evil Dead 2 every day for 6 months. I mean, loved that movie, so...
Yeah, me too. I love both of them, but yeah, the second one was it was crazy. The second one was.
Absolutely.
I don't think I've seen it since the '80s. I don't think I've watched it again. You've inspired me to get that out again.
The first horror film I ever saw was strangely Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Not one, not two. I watched 3 first for some reason. But I was never really a fan of horror. I was more into action and comedy when I was a kid.
Well, it's interesting because I know with like the Friday the 13th movies, you know, those, I think the first one I saw of that was 4 and 5. My cousin had them. And then I saw like 6, then I saw 1, then I saw 2, then I saw 7, then I saw 3. So I honestly, with those movies in particular, the sequence was sort of irrelevant.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, wow, they just ruined the mythology. Oh, what am I going to do? But with Nightmare on Elm Street, it's a little bit different because they actually, for the most part, with the first several, tried to have some kind of consistent, you know, through line with the characters. And but yeah, actually, I always enjoyed 3. 3 was actually a pretty good one with Patricia Arquette. That was good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to love you and leave you there, Joel, because we need to get back to playing some music.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, we'll do this again.
Yep. No problem, man. It was great being on. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you take care. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.